Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I have my own business, so I wear lots of hats. Now I'm wearing my office manager hat because I need supplies.
Well, Staples has everything you need, like paper, ink and toner, the latest tech.
Now I'm putting on my CFO hat because I can't overspend.
And you won't. Right now, save up to 50% on a new office chair.
All my hats and I would like to thank you.
They are welcome.
Staples, everything you need for business at great prices. And now save up to 50% on a new office chair during our winter chair event. Ends 3/11/17. Visit staples.com/furnituredeals.
Log Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you right now, Young Donovan.
Welcome to our show once again, Free on the Inside. I'm your host, Mr. Joy Lewis, and you're listening to an archive show of one of our past shows, Blog Talk Radio, Bear Creek Garden. I started up a garden just the other day over at the Juvenile Center. This is our second garden, our fall garden. We have a lot of leafy vegetables, I like to refer to them. And so we're going to get another review of our garden. Our call-in number, once again, is 310-982-4126, and I'll be cutting in the archive portion of the show just to answer the phone. We have our co-host on the line this morning. We'll bring him in prior to us doing our archive show. We have Brother Daniel on the line. Good morning, Brother Daniel.
Good morning, Reverend Lewis. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you. Glad to hear your voice once again. I set up a garden over at the Cottrell House yesterday, this week, and so we're going to do a refresher course on our community garden. As I stated earlier, we had some leafy vegetables this year. We have some greens, some cabbages, and some kale. And so we're going to grow those things. The young men are excited about it and looking forward to the harvest that's going to be producing that in that vineyard. And we thank God for this opportunity.
Yeah, that's a very important thing to keep your mind, young mind active.
Yeah, and so, and then one of the young men, he took me. He said, man, this is great therapy. And little did I know that these young men are gleaming off of this here. They're spending time in the garden, spending time in nature, so to speak. But yet they're getting chances to just gather their thoughts, seeing what they're going to do with themselves after their time at the Cottrell House. Is over. You know, Cottrell House is a juvenile facility, and the young man stated the duration of a time that's been mandated by court there. So, it get him an opportunity. And then we have a volunteer that went over to Paul Quinn College, and he graduated from the agricultural department. And so he's going to be assisting us over there, and the young men were definitely gleaming some information from him, and they were excited about what's going on over there in the garden. So what do you have for us this morning before we play a portion of this archive program?
Well, I don't have too much today, Reverend Lewis. You know, I had potential guests that I tried to want to turn you on to. I couldn't get in touch with him this week, but he's going to be on later on.
Okay, that sounds good. Then we're looking forward to that and any guests that you have. You know, our line is, and our show is open to each and every one of people that will have a desire to be on here. I'm going to rephrase that. I'm inviting anyone that have some things that they would like to bring to the show. You are welcome to join the program. Just give me a call at my personal number. That's 214-505-6526. And we'll have a short interview prior to bringing you on, and then we'll just go from there. So, but all is welcome. And you can also call Brother Daniel, and he usually give out some numbers from time to time. So please take advantage of those numbers that we'll give out. All right.
Yeah.
So, Brother, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hope it's the hurricane season, right?
Right, yeah. We did a show last week and on that. We had a young lady that was from Katrina was on last week, and she was telling us about her experience and how she's still dealing with that aftermath, and that was some 12 years later. Ms. Vera, she wrote a book saying New Orleans, The Life After Katrina, called Black Gumbo, is what the name of the book. New Orleans, a city in ruins. And so it was a very powerful book, very heart-wrenching testimony that she gave. And now we have one coming, another tornado coming up on Florida. The entire state of Florida have been asked to evacuate. And that's a daunting task, Rick, when you ask a whole state to move.
Yeah, you know, the crew rags get gridlocked when they do that, man. And it just be mass hysterical. And when they start moving out like that, I think even like we all had a little gas situation, starting to have that now.
Yeah. It affects the whole country, man, because people are being displaced. The regular flow of things are being disrupted, you know, with gas has been falling. Now they got, you know, Houston just now is trying to pull themselves back together, and then you got Florida and that East Coast, and so it's a lot of things going on right now. But we know that God is still in charge.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
And so, Brother Daniel, I want to thank you for calling in once again. You've definitely been truly a blessing to the program. And so anything that you'd like to add to it is always welcome. You are my co-host, so, you know, thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was listening to a couple of people talking about how, you know, like, a lot of people donate money. Some people donate food and other surplus stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, one guy was saying right now, there's a lot of people really not getting a lot of that stuff that they're sitting down now, the money. And really, you have to be aware about some of these people that say, donate your money to certain things. Make sure it's a reputable organization. And before you really put your money into something, like I think they had one of the Houston Texans football players, or J.J. Watt, he was taking the money directly to the people. And basically to see where the funding and all the stuff was going, you know. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on that you really have to be aware of and, you know, be cautious. And it's like the Bible tells you, you just got to watch. Get to watch stuff, you know. Be careful about it. Who you put your trust in.
And that is so true, Richard. But you know, as we give it unto God and let Him sort things out. And there's always people that wants to take advantage of situations like this. And so we pray that the finances and all the resources be used for what is intended for. And we know that's a daunting task there. Because regardless of what people are donating at this time and at this, you know, at this moment, it's still the need is still going to be just as great after a few months. You know, up in November, December, people are still going to be displaced and still going to need things. So I encourage people to donate, but also be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, we want to jump in and we want to help, and everybody does. But after all has been said and done, it's still going to be things that are going to be need to be done. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know. Now, Brother Daniel, we're going to go on here with our archive program, man, because I'm excited about this, man. This young man is no longer with us, man. Brother Glenn, he passed, man. And Brother Glenn was sick, man, but yet he was pouring out his passion and his love for above ground garden, and he shared that with us, man. And I love that, brother. We all ought to be able to share things with people while we're here and after we're gone. People ought to still be gleaming off of the things that we share with them. I recall in my own life how people's helped me and supported me and shared things with me. They no longer here, but I'm still reminiscing and gleaming and being successful at the things that they shared with me. And I'm pretty sure you had that same testimony. How someone may have taught you how to play an instrument, and they no longer here, but you still remember the fundamentals of how to, play that instrument. You still know the building blocks on preparing yourself and the chords and the strings and the notes and how to read music, you know. And so, and that's the same thing that I'm just reflecting on as we did this garden yesterday. It's a nice garden. I'm going to take some pictures and put it up. This is our garden 2.0. Our second portion of our garden here. The first went over well. We had peppers, tomatoes, squash, cucumbers, and the young man was eating off of the vineyard, man. They were pulling the peppers and eating the peppers right off the vine. And they said, man, these peppers are sure hot, you know. And we had some habanero peppers and some regular large peppers and regular size pepper, don't put it that way. I can't recall the name offhand. And the young man said, man, I love it. And one of the directors said, man, we went in the guy's room and one of them had some pepper up under his pillow. I started laughing. I said, man, the young man, they really love their pepper. And so they enjoyed it. They told me how they was cooking with them in the kitchen. And so I was very excited about that. So what we'll do now, if we start our fall crop and we want them to cook, be able to use those in the kitchen. I asked y'all, man, hey, do anybody eat kale? And he said, wait a minute, can you eat kale? I said, yeah, you can eat kale. It's kind of like a spinach, you know. And they said, wow, I didn't know that. So we're going to allow that to mature in the garden. And then we have a professional cook over there to help the young men with their meals and also allow the young men to cook. And so those young men are going to actually cook things out of the garden. And we have some cabbages over there, we stated earlier. And so we want them to use those vegetables. And we're trying to teach our young men on how to eat healthy, Ricky. Because it's so easy to get a burger and fries, man. I find myself doing that quite a bit. In my physician, man, I quit eating so much red meat. And I eat a lot of burgers. He said, well, your blood tells everything about you, you know. And he said, you got to cut back on your red meat because your body can't process them like you was a teenager. And I said, wow. Mm-hmm. So I try to cut back on them little specials that the burger places be having, you know, where you get $4 for $5 and you get 2 for $1, you know. And so I said, well,
hey, man.
It's convenient. It sounds good.
Oh, you're a fast food baby, huh?
Yes, sir. As much as I can get, but I'm cutting back on it, you know, because you know these are busy times, and so what we do, we try to supplement our diet with things that we think that we need. So we have to cut back on it. So, yes, sir. Me, I'm guilty of those things. So, but I'm trying to do right, and in turn, I'm trying to encourage our young men to do right. And Ricky, you know what we are doing, and what's going on when we're involved in life of people, young and old, it makes a difference. You little do you know that people, they see how you're handling things. They see how you're able to navigate through different points and facets of life. And they draw encouragement off of that. You know, they say, hey, I know Brother Daniel. I know what he's going through. I know what he's facing, but yet he's faithful. Well, you know. And that faithfulness, man, what God said, obedience is better than sacrifice. I think faithfulness is better. You know, it's just as well. I ain't going to say better, but faithfulness is better also, man. Being faithful at the thing that God has. When somebody said, I know he's going to do that. I know she's going to be there. I know this is going to happen. That they're being faithful. And it calls you to be faithful. You know?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I feel like young men.
Iron sharpens iron, right?
Yes, sir. And that's what I tell our young men about jobs, man. You know, I go out there, I volunteer. And I don't have to come out there. Nobody forced me to go out there. I'm not getting no kudos for it. I'm doing it because God put in my heart and I volunteer and I'm faithful. I tell those young men, you got to be faithful at things that God put to your hands. Regardless of anybody else, if God put it on your heart and you're comfortable about it, be faithful at it. Don't just have to follow the masses. A lot of times people we've been controlled by our peers, called peer pressure. You know about that, right?
Yeah.
Because you work in the school district And you know what peer pressure is. If one little kid said, I'm going to be rebellious in school, the next one said, I'm going to be rebellious. Said, I'm going to be rebellious because that's what we do here. You know, that's what we act. I'm going to sit over here in this section here because everybody dressed like me and everybody looks mm-hmm. like me. So you got all these people that's in this peer pressure, all the people with piercing in their bodies that gathered up in the one little section, and all the guys with baggy clothes in another section. And it's that peer. Everybody say, unless I want to be part of something, I got to, you know, dress like them or look like them. I'm under mm-hmm. pressure. I just can't be myself. I want to go to school. I want to dress neat. I want to be educated. But I'm surrounded by these people that don't want to go to school, these people that don't care much about education. So I'm stuck in the middle, and I want to be accepted.
Yeah,
I don't want
yeah,
to be
you know, that's one.
Go
that's
ahead.
That's one reason why they started them to wear uniforms in school, you know. That used to be something like a pressure for people with clothes on. You know, some people had certain clothes and some people didn't have clothes. And basically, most students were ridiculing the kids because they didn't have the clothes to be like this other group of people, you know. And so, you know, teachers and the administrators, you know, they go to school and they go to class. And it teaches them about how the human behaviorism, how people, you know, they set the gauge for normalcy, you know. And if you can't conform to my beliefs, you don't want to believe in what I want to believe, we seem to put you on the other side of the team. Which you can look at right now, the same thing's going on all over our country, Reverend Lewis. Got one group of people thinking one way, some people thinking another way. Some people get mad because you won't do what they say, what you want to do, you know. And basically, what happened, they just started fighting. You see all this violence all over the country.
And that's so yeah, true, that's so true.
It was going on everywhere.
And you know, and Brother Daniel, and our young men and women are being pulled in so many different directions that they get snapped, you know, just like a rubber band that's been overly exerted. They've been pulled and pulled and pulled, and then when they snap, they do things that's, you know, that's harmful to themselves and their friends and their family. I worked out at the jail, brother, and I see so many young and old people, man, that are still trapped in a lifestyle that's unnatural and uncommon, and that's a hindrance to their growth, brother. I see people, man, that they're just all tattooed up, and it breaks my heart to see black, white, Hispanic, young and old, just tattooed all over their body, their forehead, over their eyebrows, and everywhere, you know. And they just kind of isolate themselves from society, so those type of people start hanging out together because I want somebody that looks like me.
I always wanted to ask somebody about that, Reverend Lewis. You know, yeah, I don't want you to put yourself on the footstool or nothing like that. But what you saying? That's what you think about the tattooing, huh? I've been looking at it, man. In fact, I've been looking at a lot of young women, man, walking around right now. Got those things everywhere on them now, man. And, you know, maybe I'm from the old school. Maybe I'm an old guy now. Maybe. But I really, man, that looks ugly to me, man. Especially on a woman, man, you know. Oh.
Yeah. And Ricky, we from a different generation. And our young people, they kind of got carried away because they may have seen people that had a tattoo that was modest and only one tattoo. They said, well, if that one tattoo looked good, I'm going to get me another one and another one. And the entertainers have tattoos, and sometimes they just kind of go, it's almost like an addictive behavior, man. I got one tattoo, I'm going to get another tattoo. It's almost addictive, man. You're addicted to tattoos.
Yeah.
You said some people that tattoo their whole body. And you know, Ricky, I know you know, but I'm going to say it out. Those things hinder you from progressing in life, from being accepted in certain genres. You can't be a bank teller with tattoos all over your face. You very seldom can sell or be in a restaurant or be a salesman with tattoos all over you, because your tattoos distract from what you're trying to do. You may be great, you may be gifted, but if you got tattoos all over you, it kind of limits your ability to interact with people because it's distracting. And I tell my grandson, prior to him getting tattoos, I say, hey, don't get no tattoos. And I know that they will, but don't be getting them all over your body. Don't get them in your face. Don't get them all up on your arm, because some jobs won't hire you with tattoos. And people have to wear long sleeve shirts, man, because you got tattoos on your arm. Hey, we don't need that. And sometimes people get involved in gang activities and groups of people that say, hey, we're not in a gang, but we all got these tattoos, kind of like being in college. And what you call it when you're in college in a dorm?
Sorority and fraternity.
Yeah, you're in a sorority. We're not in a gang, but we're in a sorority, so we all gonna get these tattoos in the back of our neck. You know, we all these girls, we all gonna get these butterflies in the back of our neck. We're not a gang, but we just show a friendship. You know,
it's friendship. Yeah.
You know, it's
and a woman. I knew one or two of them really big. They put brands on their body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a form of gang activity. I went to a juvenile training class, and they was telling us that how sometimes brands of is a sign of gang activity, because every gang member they do things, and sometimes it don't look to us as ordinary people like it's anything, but it could be a sign of a gang activity. Not all of them, but some of them. God, I see some young bands, believe it or not, they had a dollar symbol tattooed on there. You know, the Dallas mark, you know, with the 3Ds and a flower or something in the center or something. It's, it's a Dallas symbol. It's a Dallas symbol. You know, I call it the 3Ds. It's got a D, then it's got a D on the inside, then it got another D, and then it's got a flower, a Dallas, or something in the center. And I said, that's a Dallas logo. That's a Dallas City logo. And they got it tattooed on. They said, yeah, man, but they use that for gang activity. I said, really?
Mm.
And I never thought about that.
Mm.
You know, but Ricky, that is hope for young men like that. There is hope for them. So we're not going to give up on them. We're just going to encourage them. We're going to pray for them. And and jobs like that, I'm saying things like that limit you to jobs. You know, these young men are still going to be able to work, but they're going to be in the warehouse. They'll be mechanics, or they'll be doing something that's not in the public view. And it kind of limits you. I can only work in this warehouse. They don't even want me to come up front to the office because I got tattoos all over. So I can stay in the back and they, you know, and do things like that. So, well, Brother Daniel, I'm gonna play part of this here. I have a show coming up here, brother. I got it running right now in the archive. I don't want to miss this. It's a great show, and I really enjoyed it. And maybe you too can learn. So I think you was a growing a garden at your residence at one time, right?
Yeah, I grew a couple of. I'm kind of like a fruit man. I like watermelons and cantaloupes, but I've been having a real problem with trying to get them to make it, you know, grow up, you know, because, you know, they have to be pollinated. Fruits with flowers and stuff on them, they have to be pollinated by the bees. And I don't think we have a really good bee population around in this area, and they're not able to pollinate these flowers and make them, you know, grow. So they got to one little stage and look around, they wasn't growing them any larger, so I got a whole lot of plants, man, really didn't do too much. So it kind of like was a learning stage. I had to go off in the books and start learning stuff, find out what I did wrong. It's like a trial and error thing, you know. And then once you learn something, you know, you always have to go back next year because it's a certain time of year when you got a plant.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're doing now. We know that this is the time of year to start that. That's why we want to do a refresher course on what we're doing today with the Barrel Creek Community Garden.
Yeah.
Brother Daniel, just sit back, relax, and enjoy a portion of this program, and I'll be back with you shortly, okay? So
All right.
next, the next voice you'll hear will be Brother Glenn here from our previous program on community, Barrow Creek Community Garden. Please kick back and enjoy. I'll be back with you shortly. You'll listen to another great episode of Free on the Inside with Minister Joy Lewis and Richard Daniel, my co-host. Thank you. God bless. Enjoy.
We charged. We were not going to charge people any fees for this. And so, you know, we have a significant upfront expense of the materials that were required to build these beds, the water, because of certain water restrictions and regulations and urban, we had to install a complete underground drip system, a sprinkler system, to supply our 30 beds, because that's how big we've become, is 30 raised beds in just one section of the garden. We provided seeds, we provided plants, we provided all of these things. So basically it was, if a person had the desire to come and want to grow in our garden, cost is not going to be a factor that would prohibit them from coming and participating in the garden experience. It wouldn't cost them a dime. And so we've done that, and we did that at great expense to ourselves in the beginning. But that was the vision. That was the mandate with which our pastor insisted on and their congregation insisted on. And in a result, it was difficult from being the director's standpoint of saying, my God, where's our income going to be coming from? And how are we going to be, how are we going to be self-containing and self this if we don't have any fees, if we don't charge our gardeners this and this and that? Where's this coming from? Well, those that know me will tell you sometimes it comes now with the maturity of trusting God. In those situations, we were able to attract just by our determination, just by our vision, just by our going out and asking people for help. We got help from some unexpected sources. That irrigation system that I talk about, we had a gentleman who donated his time, his labor, his efforts to do that. And that probably would have cost us $5,000 to have our water system put in like that. When it came to seeds and plants, we were able to get a nursery that supplied Lowe's and Home Depot and Kroger and all these various places around with the garden plants that you see in the spring. They donated to us. They donate to us their plants that are being taken back to the nursery, or they some that are in absolutely perfect shape that are ready to go in the ground. They donate to us. They contact us and let us know when their distribution truck is coming by, and we'll go pick up the plants and bring them back. And they provided and donated thousands of dollars worth of plants, Lowe's and Walmart seeds, materials. The list just goes on and on and on. I think at one point in our particular garden, I did a donation tally of what our major sponsors and donors have donated just to get this community garden going in urban. And it was almost $30,000. That's $30,000 in materials that we did not have to come up with. Now, I don't want to scare anybody off with that kind of number. You can do a community garden on way less than $30,000. In fact, in the beginning, the research that I did said that most community gardens, believe this or not, most community gardens in the United States, from a survey that the American Community Gardeners Association did, determined that most community gardens operate on a budget of $2,000 or less. $2,000, I said, how can they do the level and the scope of the garden that we're doing? Well, the scope of the garden that we're doing and eventually accomplished is not in that model. We were just tremendously blessed and continue to be blessed, and we could not have done it at this level and operated at this size had it not been for those kinds of donors that came and gave that kind of love to this garden. And it's very true.
Oh, that is so true, Daryl. Jerry, you know what? I am very excited about what you're sharing with us. Because, and I was thinking about, I did some research on community gardening. As you're talking about having a raised structure where you can, kind of control your soil, and that's very important. I thank you for doing some research on this, because we encourage our listening audience that anytime they're involved in ministry, do some research on, partner with other people. You said, man, we're bringing in other
absolutely.
People. We're not trying to do this ourselves, and I think that's the key to success
absolutely.
In ministry. Because,
and
you know, sometimes we want – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, on that point, let me go ahead and tell you that what has happened with the vision of our garden and where we're going with this as a nonprofit and a foundation is that eventually what we're hoping to do, and hopefully as early as next year, is what we want to do is we want to actually duplicate what we're doing in the neighborhoods. In other words,
yes,
we want to be able to provide a family that has a space in their backyard, a 4x4 raised bed. In other words, you know, our garden will provide you with a 4x4 raised bed with all the soil, with all the amendments, with all the seeds that you can do this in the backyard, and we'll support you in that. And we'll encourage you in that because basically a family of four can grow fresh garden vegetables in a bed that size and sustain themselves.
Tell me something before you go any further. On this 4x4, how many different vegetables can you grow in something like that? What would be suitable to grow in a 4x4?
I'm glad you brought that up, too, because that's another method with which we adapted and promote in our garden. It's called square foot gardening. And square foot gardening is if you'll just envision in your mind a 4x4 bed, and if you'll divide that bed in your mind up into 12-foot squares, okay? In a 12-foot garden bed, you can look at those individual squares. There's 48. There's 48 12-inch by 12-inch beds. Each one of those squares represents another garden. It represents a single garden by itself. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm picturing it right now, yes.
In one square of those 48, you can be growing a single cabbage because a cabbage needs that much space to grow. So let's say a single cabbage. In the one next to it of those 48 squares, you can grow carrots. Let's say you can grow 12, 16, 18 carrots in that one. In the next one over to that, you can grow some lettuce, maybe three heads of lettuce. You follow where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
And so at the end, you have 48 little squares, and we call that companion garden. We call that companion garden. What do you grow next to something else that benefits that crop that's next to it?
Gerald, that is so true, brother.
I'm so glad you shared that method, which was to be encouraged. That's what we encourage in our garden experience. That if you'll do that. Now we have 4x10 and 5x10 beds. So we're talking about at the 4x10. We're talking about 40 little individual mini gardens, and at the 5x10, which probably half of our beds are, we're talking about 50 in companion gardens. So it can get that detail, and it can be that successful.
Now tell me something. Now is it with a garden that like that size and similar to that? What is about the growing rate all year long? Will you be able to sustain something like that all year long?
Yes, and we're this is our first year, and we're learning from our mistakes, and we've learned a lot. Now, initially, our first growing season, which is traditionally the spring, which is around March or so when you're doing raised bed gardening, up until about June, and we had a phenomenal growing first spring. We had a phenomenal growing season. Stuff was growing in everybody's beds. I mean, we had cucumbers that were the size of it was unbelievable. And so in this particular climate of Texas, experienced gardeners look at three growing seasons. They can actually get three crops in a year because there are some crops that you can start growing in the fall that take you through the cool. The winters are not that harsh in the Dallas area that you can actually grow some stuff that you're planting now for October and November. Next year we have the experience of knowing that our cool crops like lettuce, which do well in cold weather, that cool weather. You start putting those in the ground and onions and things like that. You start putting those in around February, January, late January, February, because they're really not that dependent on frost. In other words, and so you can have three separate growing seasons. And what we found is that most of the garden crops that we grow or you want to grow in your garden, they generally have a maturity date of about 120 days. That's maximum. Cucumbers and watermelon take a little bit longer. Right now, for instance, in our garden, about the only thing that's really successfully growing and growing just everywhere in everybody's beds is okra. Okra loves the heat. It grows. No sooner do you harvest a 2 dozen pods off your okra plant, 3 days later there's 2 dozen more. So okra's just been incredible.
I'm thinking about my grandmother's friend.
If you like okra, this is the place to grow it.
I think about my grandmother. The elderly people knew how to put things in how to grow things in a particular season.
Yes, and as you pointed out, there's three
type of growing season, and that's something that we are not aware of if we're not a gardener. And thank you for sharing that insight on us, brother. I know that someone wants to try to attempt this, and someone is going to be successful at this. And you gave them the tools and the insight on how to be successful at a community garden. But right now we have several callers on the line here. We're going to kick back and let them come in and just share their experience and just give
Absolutely.
You some kudos on what you're doing, okay?
Absolutely. Because I do want
kick back
to talk to Frequency Joel about the ministries that this has developed to. So, yes, we'll take some calls.
Good morning. You're on the net. Mr. Flemings, good morning. You're on the net. Okay, that caller, I just want to hold on here and just listen in. We got another caller coming in. Good morning,
Hello?
Mr. Daniel. You on the net?
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great. Well, I hope you're enjoying this conversation we have here with Mr. Taylor talking about his community garden at Bear Creek Church.
That's
good. Go right ahead,
son. I've been looking at a lot of things that have been happening in the world. It's time people really start going back to, growing their own food.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
On the gardens and in the yard because, basically you can't really trust what you're buying in the store no more.
Absolutely. Is it Daniel?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but Brother Daniel, I'm glad you bring that up because as a result of being involved in gardening at a serious level now, I do a lot of research and I get a lot of emails and I keep up on a lot of things. And I think in our community, we as a community also have to understand what is going on in the world. And right now there's a big controversy going on about the GMO versus non-GMO. And what that basically means is we're talking about the food industry in this country and in all over the world and in a lot of places has become so dependent on what they call genetically modified organisms. And that's where they've basically done things in the laboratory. They've created new species that are designed to, have shelf life in the stores. In other words, there's some things in the store that look good because we eat with our eyes. That's just a human nature thing. And, that our grandparents and our great-grandparents would tell you, that doesn't look like an apple to me. That doesn't look like a bell pepper to me. That doesn't look like a – well, what it is that they've been genetically modified for two reasons. One, to shelf life and get them from the farmer and the GMO producers to the store. They want them to look bright. They want them to look appealing. They want them to look good. And actually, to tell you the truth, just real quick, another reason why I believe God has been so actively involved in my involvement in this community garden and trying to establish by example is that I was recently diagnosed with inoperable liver cancer. And we know where cancer comes from. We know that cancer is preventable. We know that the doctors know what the cure to cancer is, and what the cure to cancer is prevention. It's what we're putting in our bodies now, what we're eating, what we as a society have become so accustomed to accepting as healthy eating. And so that's one of the ministries, Joel and Daniel, that I was talking about that has resulted as the development of this community of garden has gone because we're now starting a health and wellness ministry, a health and wellness component to the garden that is basically, designed to do that. Our garden is completely 100% organic, and by that I mean there have been no chemicals, no Roundup, no pesticides, no weed killers, no none of that have been allowed to be planted in our garden. In fact, the seeds and things that we even offer to our our gardeners. We make sure that they're non-GMO seeds. We don't want to pass that on. We have a responsibility. We have a commitment. We have an obligation in stewards of this community garden to pass on this, not only the opportunity to have some fresh stuff for your family, but to have healthy fresh stuff for your family. So that is very true, and that's what we're also going to be demonstrating when we develop our garden foundation to the next level of providing these beds for people in their backyards, that we're going to make sure that what we're going to be teaching them, what we're going to be modeling for them, is those kinds of things. And I think, you know, what's happened with me and my cancer, only illustrates that is the more reason for doing this, because we want to bring down the rates of cancer. We want people to be eating healthy. And we in our black communities traditionally don't do that. It goes back to our grandparents and our great-grandparents that knew better, that not only were able to just garden anywhere and garden and raise anything, they also knew how to do it healthily. And that's what we've got to get back to.
Amen. You know about this part in the Bible where it tells you, children of Israel, they told them to grow the crops, but then also take 7 years of rest and let the land replenish itself.
Absolutely.
And grow other, grow back?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And farmers do that. I grew up in a farming community in western Kansas. I've been around farms all my life. And that's what farmers call, they call that farrowing the crops. In other words, 1 year this is wheat, but it'll lay idle. It'll lay idle the next year, maybe 2 years or 3 years. They won't grow anything like that. Well, they're doing that for several reasons. And the results of that started happening on a mass level was because during the Dust Bowl days, when all the soil and everything was getting blown away in the farm states of middle United States, it was because there wasn't any soil to maintain those winds that were coming. So farmers have been doing this as a practice to do crop rotation, and that's what I was just speaking about earlier, about crop rotation. I mean companion garden. Companion gardening,
yeah.
Again, is that practice of what do you grow next to something, to next to something, to next to something, and that also even gets as detailed as certain, and some of our garden beds even have flowers in them. And the reason why we have specific flowers is because they also organically are taking care of our pest control. In other words, we have a particular flower in that garden bed, in your raised bed. That flower bed attracts, let's say, a beetle moth or a potato bug or something like that. Well, next to it, we'll put another flower in the other part of the garden that attracts a predator, whose main food source is beetle bugs and whatever that other insect is. You know, it's in the microscopic world, in the gardening world, it's a dog-eat-dog world at that micro level. I mean, you know, but there are beneficial things to do. Now, the other thing we also promote is, Daniel, is crop rotation in doing a community garden. And that means this next year, a lot of our garden beds that grew something, in that space, there won't be anything grown. We're going to give the soil a chance to replenish itself. Renew its soil and bring it back up naturally and organically.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly, yes.
Yes, okay. You greatly answered my question. I wanted to hear from you.
Yeah.
Well,
and you
great.
Can do this
hey,
at home. I'm proposing gardens, but you can do this. I want people to understand that you can do this at home. At the end, we'll give you some information, I guess, about how to contact me or how to research. And don't be intimidated by the amount of research that you're going to get, but just be, looking for the good information.
So true. Hey, Jerry, you gave us quite a bit of information. And I was just thinking, you know, we're both here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And, you know, college, Paul Quinn College, they canceled a football team and athletic activities concerning outdoor sports, and they turned their football field into a garden.
I know her. I know who designed that garden. In fact, she designed ours. She actually was willing to come out and give us a sketch in the beginning when we said we wanted a garden design. The girl that put that community garden together in that space actually came out and designed our garden for us. Now
beautiful garden.
We didn't use her design. We didn't use her design, but she was willing to do it.
Well, all that. See, that's what I liked about that partnership, brother. You know, because you can be very successful when you're joined and united with other organizations, other ministry and program. And you know, that community garden, I know about what's going on with it and how it's assisting in the neighborhood over there in the community, mm-hmm. and how they are trying to develop self-awareness of the things that we eat, similar to what you're doing. Because I think it's very important. Because our little kid, they growing up eating fast food and all this junk food, and they don't even.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know where vegetables come from, brother. They said, man, I don't know where that come from, a tomato, a cucumber, or anything.
Yeah, anything. And, you know, Michael and Daniel, the other quick thing I'll throw at you, too, is that keep in mind, and I think it has to do with the fact that we're a faith-based community garden. You know, we're part of a church that had that vision and that support. But, you know, the things that we have watched, it's not only important to have partnerships and network with people and things when you're beginning to do this, if you're planning on doing it at a community level. In fact, where I come from in California, what you're talking about is the Quinn College campus. They actually call it guerrilla gardening. They were basically, they have some activist gardeners out there that will find a vacant lot somewhere, a property that's not been used by the landowner for who knows how long. And they will basically go in there and just start planting stuff. They're like Johnny Appleseed. They'll just start throwing stuff over the fence and start maintaining it now. You know, they've gotten into some legal issues and whatnot in terms of trespass and stuff. But usually it comes around when the landowner finds out that at least that vacant lot is being put to good use. They're generally less reluctant to prosecute and even support it. And so they do sell the property, because it becomes an improvement on their property. But they're called guerrilla gardeners. They grow stuff underneath the byways, the freeways, wherever there's a spot of land that's available to them. They reach into their little seed bag and just start growing stuff. And that's an amazing thing. The other thing, when you were mentioning going back to the early days when it was the victory gardens after the war and during the war, when it was a necessity that people in the urban cities were needed to grow gardens. The gardens were everywhere. The community gardens, but they were victory gardens. They called them. And one of the aspects that is a movement going around, which I belong to, at least in terms of membership, is called garden, not lawn. And that's really taking it to the extreme where you look at your front lawn if you're a homeowner, put your garden in your front yard. Grow your garden in your front yard. Set it up and grow your garden in your front yard on your front lawn. Now watch what that does for your neighborhood. Watch what that does to the sense of community in your neighborhood. Our vision and our goal eventually with our garden project is to encourage that into our communities. And neighborhood by neighborhood, we have one of our big supporters who's part of our organization and is doing some things on her own. She's doing some aquaponics growing, where she's just growing stuff in garden towers, which we have one at the church. She's done that exactly just on her block. She has a community garden that basically is her neighbors, two blocks down the street, two blocks over, it's eight blocks. And that's their community garden, her backyard. Now, that really brings neighborhoods together. And, you know, what you end up getting with that is you build a community that's put together through self-reliance, and they're modeling responsible environmental stewardship, and they care for the health and well-being of their people. Do you know your neighbor? How many of us know our neighbors other than to wave at or to see at or to be interviewed by the news camera when they come and something happens across the street and everybody's always saying, well, they seem like good people to me. But these are opportunities for which really, really interact with your neighbors, really interact with your community and down to the neighborhood level. And, you know, so the things that have happened with our garden is that we're creating and we're providing learning opportunities for understanding, whole food nutrition and its effects on our health. One thing about our garden I should put in briefly is that a half of our garden has been devoted strictly to a children's garden. We're really proud of that garden. We're really delighted about what God has done in that garden. We've been blessed with a children's garden director who has just gone beyond the call of duty to make sure that it's a success. And we look at it; it's a separate garden from our main garden. It's maintained for the children. They planted seeds. They planted their own plants. This addresses that question of where our kids think our food comes from. We've given them hands-on experience. We're right now in the process of developing
the area in that children's garden that we're calling our learning. Are you ready for this? We call this our learning outdoor laboratory because we have classrooms right across the fence from the community garden where we can do displays. We have the butterfly lady. She's known as the butterfly lady here around Irving, who comes out and does these seminars and classrooms and workshops and hands-on activities because of the butterflies. We also have part of our garden that we call our pollinator garden, which is our bee and butterfly garden. It's separate, about 2,500 square feet, that we have planted certain plants and flowers that attract the pollinators, because our kids also need to understand that without bees and butterflies that do pollination, there wouldn't be a food supply. And bees are dying off worldwide in critical numbers. And so we've even developed a garden that attracts those pollinators to come back and pollinate in our garden to give our garden even more opportunities to grow and be successful growing naturally, organically.
Now, Gerald, before we get out of here, brother, before we leave, will you please give us some information on how to get something started like this here, man? Because, you know, you're hit on something here, brother. A community garden. You know, I travel around town, and occasionally I see places in churches and private property and things. And you know what? It blesses me because it's put a smile on my face because it's a beautiful sight, man. You talk about landscape. It's nothing beautiful that a garden, man, with vegetables coming
up,
you know, greens and things of that nature. So give us some information on how to get something started like this and how to contact you for any more further advice.
I will. Absolutely. That's become another, it actually has become another, an area in which we are actively making ourselves prepared and available for. You know, the thing with that designation of being the only gardening in Irving, the largest and the only, there's some responsibility that comes with it. That's a result of our success that we've done at our garden. And recently, I got so in my little club, we were recently recognized by the City of Irving and their Keep Irving Beautiful organization as outstanding faith-based organization for our community garden. In our first year of operation, we've been awarded a city award for outstanding faith-based organization. So we're very proud of that, and we accepted that award on behalf of our congregation because, in our case, our congregation was willing to subsidize and show the willingness to go ahead and take our vision and fund it and see where it goes. So what I'm saying to anybody that wants to start a community garden, basically go ahead, and it's critical that you identify what you mean by your community garden and how many homes or how many individuals you see this as addressing. And you know, and build your project around that. The thing to also remember when doing that is to be realistic. The thing to do is also to go ahead and make your community partnerships. You will be amazed at how many businesses, organizations, individuals out there are willing and want to help. Now they may not know that they want to help or willing to help until you go see them. But I would venture to say, in almost everybody that we approach, and this was back in the days when we didn't have nothing to show. We didn't even have a sketch. We didn't even have. We just had an idea. Walking in their store, telling them, "Hello, I'm so and so, and here's what we want to do over at Bear Creek Church." And they still gave. They still saw the vision. So it requires people that are going to be involved in this that see the vision. That's where you start. You identify that. And I really encourage you to take what I just mentioned earlier about our friend Marcy's concept of the neighborhood garden. Talk to your neighbors. Get several of your neighbors together and say, "Hey, do you want to pool our resources, pool our efforts, pool our energies together, and put up a community garden together in your backyard, Sam and Dave's backyard, for next spring or whatever?" That's a community garden. Anything that involves, just like God says and the Bible says, that anything that involves two or more, but we're really talking about a community. And so you can contact me. Get this out of the way right now. You can contact us at the Bear Creek Community Church in Irving, Texas. Our mailing address is 2700 Finley Road, 2700 Finley, Finley Road in Irving, Texas. And our zip code over here is 75062. We also have an email. We also have an email. I'll give it to you. It's kind of long, but it's B as in boy, and then CCC. 3C for Bear Creek Community Church, communitygarden@yahoo.com. And I can give you a phone number, Joel, if you want me to do that later before we close, that you can call me directly. We'd be more than glad to come out and or talk to you or make a presentation to your church or your organization. We're in demand for that a lot right now as a result of Blood Garden, and we lovingly do it.
Gerald, you can go ahead and give out that number now if you have a desire to, because we want everyone to be a part of this here. We want everyone to apply their God-given talents to change a life in someone, change the life of a neighborhood.
Absolutely. And again, I can't emphasize enough what this does to other areas of your life in terms of the garden experiences. Nothing like being out in that garden. It's just even in your own garden, in your own backyard, you can experience that if you haven't already. The tranquility, the peace that comes over you, the opportunity that you have to commune with God in that garden experience. It's a quiet time. You're away from all the hustle and bustle and the this and that of life. And it's so amazing that you see God's creation and his ability to be such an awesome God that you see something planted from a seed and watch it grow and nurture it and love it and bring it to a full harvest. There's nothing like that experience. Before I get my number, I'll say some more things. You know, obviously when we said our vision wasn't small and it was big and our success hasn't been small, it's been big. And our opportunities that we're enjoying and just seeing from the creation of this garden certainly is not small. It's very big. And, some of the other components. We talked about the children's garden. We talked about the pollinator's garden. We just recently have designated an area that we call our artist garden. We have invited some artists to come in the garden and do some interpretive art. And, you know, and that resulted as a result of some graffiti that was on one of our church properties. We came up with graffiti for God. We got with some organizations and our Lowe's. You know what? We'll provide the materials and build a fence, and you can paint it, and we'll invite these graffiti artists to come in and have them do something that is interpretive. Have them do something creative. Give them a sense of ownership of this church property, this church garden. So that's our Graffiti from God project. I just met with a couple of artists the other day that are going to do some murals for us. It's going to be, you know, get that experience. Our shed, our garden tool shed that was provided by Lowe's and was installed by them and donated, has some artwork on the side of it. We have a rain barrel collection for the rain, which would rain, but we have the rain barrel to collect the rain so we can take that and put it on our plants and help them grow. And
that's powerful.
The last thing I'll tell you about how God has so magnanimously blessed this garden, you know, we're actually getting ready to become the only garden, not only in our garden, but even the ones that are operating, they're going to have a year-round temperature-controlled greenhouse. Walmart is going to build us a greenhouse that's going to allow us the opportunity to grow fresh vegetables year-round, 12 months out of the year, and benefit our food pantry. And so we're so excited about that because that's something that's not been done, has never been done in a community garden. And so, you know, we're going to be the recipient of that. They're going to build us this temperature-controlled greenhouse, and we're going to grow these healthy vegetables and plants and food year-round. Can you imagine that?
How
big that is. And
that
so
is great.
These are the opportunities that has opened us up for us. We're still talking to the independent school districts about doing tours and coming and spending days in our outdoor learning laboratory. These are all the ministries that God has opened up as a result of this garden. We have a healing ministry, a Bible study group that takes place in the garden, weather permitting, that we actually meet in the garden. And all of our Bible study is dealing with, how God deals with healing and how God deals with and speaks about gardens and planting and growing. So,
Gerald, that's
Joel,
great. That's great.
This hour is going to go quick.
We got to bring you back on, brother, because you got a lot to talk about. I'm excited about it. Gerald, as you mentioned earlier, our time is drawing short here. We got less than a minute to be on the air. Thank you for being a guest on our program, mm-hmm. brother. We have truly been blessed by you.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
I'll
yes,
give you
go
that
ahead.
Number. You can call me here, please. It's 510-852-0434. 510-852-0434. And that's my personal cell phone. You can call me anytime. night or day about what God is throwing in your heart about doing a community garden, and I'm available to you. God bless you.
God bless you. Man, we'll be talking later. Have a great day, and looking forward to hearing more about you in the community garden.
All right. What a great interview that we had there with Brother Gerald. Brother Gerald is no longer with us. But yet he left us some information that span the test of time. We have Brother Daniel on the line here. We're about ready to wind down this program. Brother Daniel was a part of that interview with Brother Gerald that was a few years ago, but it's still relevant today. The community garden with Gerald had planted in my heart. They're coming to tuition over at the Cottrell House, and we're planting it, and the young men are loving it, and everything that Gerald shared with us, it definitely will come true. We were able to bring in other people from outside organizations to support the garden because they see the benefit of it. So thank you, Brother Gerald. Thank you for your love and your compassion and your memory. We thank you for sharing your time with us. Gerald is no longer here, but we want to thank Gerald in memory for what he's doing. Brother Daniel, we're about ready to get out of here. Thank you for holding on.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, exciting to hear my voice.
Yes, sir, yes. I mean, that was something we talked about earlier about bringing other people along and sharing what you do, brother. I couldn't do this program alone, brother. I get up every on Saturday morning, I do it. But it's always good to have people walk beside you, man, to help encourage you. You know, sometimes I don't want to be on the program, but I know that you might call. I said, wow, man, I got to be faithful because Brother Daniel may just call and, you know, say, what happened to you, man? I'm up because you was up, you know. And so
yeah,
I know you feel the same way sometimes.
Sometimes I be kind of sluggish, Brother Lewis. I just don't want to tell you, man. I have to
kind of get
off into the groove a little bit. Like this morning, I wasn't too active this morning, but right now I'm kind of up now. So I like to tell everybody that that was an exciting interview, and basically all the things he said on that really true. You know, we need to think about what we put into our bodies. And so what I'm saying is God has given us the ability to grow food and given us seeds and crops and stuff like that. So basically, you have to learn how to survive because the case, what's happening now with all these catastrophes and people don't know where to go. They don't want, basically, you're going to have to learn how to live off the land. You know, and you tell some people this, they don't really want to, well, man, you know, that's oh, man, you got to use your senses and basically what God gave you to learn how to exist because really, man is what we call a hunter-gatherer. You know what that is, Brother Lewis?
Yes.
Men are known to be hunters and gatherers. We learn to go out and gather stuff and bring it back.
Mm-hmm. That is so true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you know
we got to get on out of here, Brother Daniel. Our time is up, man. And you know what? Whenever the conversation get good, man, it's time to end the program. Oh, brother, that's awesome, man. Hey, man, we're going to pick this up next week with another great guest. We're going to reformat the show somewhat. You're going to really be pleased with. I'm going to share with you off air on some things that we're going to be bringing up and we're going to be implementing. You know, I'm the type of person, I don't just try to talk about it. I want to be about it. And you're the same way. Brother Daniel, a lot of times you bring up stuff and you say, Joe, we ain't going to just talk about it. We're going to actually bring this to tuition. And so I appreciate what you do, man. I know that when you said something, you bring it about to the best of your ability. Sometimes things just don't work out, but it ain't because we gave up. It's just because it just wasn't workable then, you know. But you always have it, and you'll revisit that at a later date. Same thing with our guest coming up. You say, hey, the guest is available, but we're going to revisit that. I love that, brother, because you want to keep me going and keep me doing what I do. And so I thank God for it. But, Brother Daniel, Wes, we're ready to get out of here, man. Again, thank you once again for being a supporter of the program, for being my co-host, brother. As I stated earlier, and I'm going to always tell you, I never could do it without you. I wouldn't even want to do it without you. So thank you, brother, for being a part of what we're doing. Saturday morning is your personal time. It's time you reflect back on the weekly event, but you're willing to spend your time with me and God. Oh, man, you spend your personal time with us, and I honor that, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hey,
okay,
man.
So Hey, man, so when we get out of here, brother, you know we'll be talking later on. We always talking. So enjoy the balance of your morning. Get you a cup of coffee or donut and just kick back and reflect on what God is about to do in this season. And remember, help change your life in Jesus' name.
Be free on the inside.
Yes, sir, man. And as we get ready to wind down here, we're going to play our little theme song here. Said, don't worry about well-doing. You know, because we don't have to worry about these things. This all this belongs to God. Amen. It all belongs to God.
You gonna do well.
Bless you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us once again to host this internet radio program. Dear Lord, is there anything that we had done, dear Lord? It was about your divine purpose and will. Dear Lord, you knew we was going to be here. You knew what the topic going to be about. And you knew how it was going to be received. We thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to be a part of your kingdom. Dear Lord, we lift up those men and women that's been displaced by the storm and the weather condition down in Houston, the pending conditions in Florida. Dear Lord, we ask you to cover them, or get them comfort, get them peace in the midst of a storm. Dear Lord, because you are a peacemaker. You are a way, dear Lord. Allow them men and women to know, regardless of what goes on, dear Lord, that you are still in charge. Dear Lord, give us the gift of charity and hospitality, and the gift of caring, dear Lord. We realize that sometimes it seems to be too large. It seems to be so much work that we're overshadowed and overwhelmed by. Lord, but if we do it unto you, dear Lord, if we do it unto you, there's no failure in you, dear Lord. You will give us what we need in the proper time, in the right measure. Allow us to be able to hold fast to what you share with us, and let us be able to encourage someone else that you are still God. There is no other. We thank you for Brother Daniel. We pray for him and his family. We pray he have a blessed day, dear Lord. We ask you to continue to bless the things that he put his hands to do. And we probably give you all the praise and glory. Dear Lord, we lift up our guest this morning. He's no longer with us, dear Lord, but his memory, dear Lord. His memory, dear Lord, that we honor, dear Lord, for what his gift that he shared with us about the God, how he's encouraging us, dear Lord. Right today, it's a 2-year program, but he's encouraging us today. That is still effective. Your word, dear Lord, is over 2,000 years ago, but it's still effective today, dear Lord. And we thank you, dear Lord, as we get ready to end this program, we ask you to order our steps, guard our heart, and continue to show us favor. Not the favor of man, but the favor of God. And we promise to give you praise and the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Brother Dan, you enjoy your day, and we'll see you later on, okay? And help change your life in Jesus' name. You've been listening to another great episode of Free on the Inside.
Louis
and Brother Daniel. God bless you. Enjoy your day. Amen.